بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Topic that is being discussed is about humility. And every person thinks, I'm humble. And just enter the house and let the wife see something then. Then the true colors begin to appear. So I was reading an article of Azadji Rahmatullahi, and someone is writing to him his spiritual state, what they say, halat. So as I began reading that article by that person, that first thought came to my mind that this doesn't sound, something does not sound right here. It would seem like he's just copied something from Bayan or from some article. And then he's applying it on himself. Yeh meri halat hai. And I was surprised Hazrati said the same thing after that. So this tasawwuf is not about knowing it. It's about applying it. Someone came to one Buzurg and is asking about some of the technical terms in the tasawwuf. So he sighed with a lot of grief. He said, I didn't realize that this will be the end of the tasawwuf. It will be just some terminologies that people will be flying around. What I knew on the tasawwuf is the applying it and applying it very, very seriously. They're not waiting for results. One Japanese came to the Merkaz in those years now. He heard some fazilat and now he's looking for the result. So it's as though it's not like a made in Japan or made in China. You must become the person. Every quality that's been spoken about, then that quality, to what extent has it gone, permeated you? Do you feel yourself like that? If you feel yourself like that, then you'll have no complaint. But why? Azmar Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullahi was explaining the hadith, لا تفضلوني على يونس بن متى. Don't you regard me to be superior than Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam. Perhaps Nabi Sam was concerned that someone must have heard of the incident of Yunus alayhi salam, and he may not give him that level of respect that he deserves. That he was swallowed by fish, whatever happened after that, right? So, Nabi Sam's concern, obviously would be a genuine concern, that the slightest of misgiving you have of the Anbiya, your iman is gone. That is why we hear the story of Adam alayhi salam, and it is not permissible, there's a consensus, to say that Adam alayhi salam was an Asi, though the Quran Sharif says, wa asa Adam wa Rabbu. Because we are required that everything of a Nabi, then we must look at it with the highest level of respect. And then when these stories are mentioned, then you have to understand the rule that goes with it. Hasanatul Abrar Sayyatul Muqarrabin. Right? So there are different ratings, right? You've got a Salihin, then you got Abrar, then you got Muqarrabin. So one is at the entry level, and one is now advanced, we call him the Abrar, right? And then one is even above the Abrar, Muqarrabin, they closes in rank to Allah Ta'ala. So the ratings are different. So what is acceptable at one level may not be accepted at the second level, at the higher level. See, the child is in pre-school, right? So he tried to write his name. And he wrote, but didn't write it neatly. But it's all neat, right? Some alphabets were not written nicely. But the teacher, that is experienced, and the father that knows, he will give him a tap on the shoulder, mashallah, wah wah, praise him so much, right? My darling, you have done, write your name. What a miracle this is, at this age when you're still in pre-primary. So at that level, they'll give him an applaud, they'll praise him, they'll speak highly about him. But now, that same child is in grade 7 now. And if he writes like that pre-primary, then they'll shout him, reprimand him. So at the grade that you are, you have to behave your grade. So, Adam alayhi salam, when you talk of the story, you should understand that it wasn't a sin as we have it, everything per se is not a sin. But it was a mistake in his discretion. So, what caused him to make that mistake? So the reason for the mistake is Shaitan put this in his mind, Allah will stop you then because you were still new in Jannat. Now you're old, so you are familiar with the whereabouts and the things of Jannat. Now it won't affect you. Then again he said, you know, that Allah stopped you. Why he stopped you? That when you eat of this thing, you may become of the malaika. Right? مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِي الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ. Now, Adam and Islam was pining for an eternal stay in Jannat because he wanted the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. Right? He didn't want to lose that closeness. He must be there. And the way he thought that he'll work it out, that I become an angel and I'll enjoy the permanent proximity. And added to that, he also took an oath, qasamahuma. Took an oath. Now that could not cross the mind of Adam alayhi salam, that a person can take an oath, false oath in the name of Allah Ta'ala. So that's where the error was. So I ask you, was that error driven by temptation? Okay? Was it driven by temptation? Not temptation. When we make an error, the error is driven by temptation. So not temptation. This was wanting that special association with Allah Ta'ala. So for a normal person, this will be counted as an act of reward, because he is aspiring for the special relation. But now, Adam alayhi salam is not just an ordinary worshipper. He is very high. Nobody can reach him. He's so high. So it was not expected of him that he should make this type of an error. So that's why he termed it as a ma'asiyat, as a wrong, right? So, different levels, and it's viewed differently. Right? A person is new in Islam, has come to the masjid, and someone sneezed, and he said, Yarhamukallah. Now everybody is staring at him. Ma balukum tarawni bi ayunin. You're looking at, giving me a stiff look, what's wrong? I didn't steal anything from you. So why are you looking at me like this? Now he's new, he doesn't know. All he learned is someone sneezes and says, Alhamdulillah, he must say, Yarhamukallah. So he said what he's supposed to be saying. But he didn't realize that this was supposed to be out of namaz, not in namaz. So after namaz, the Nabi Sallam explained to him, لِذِكْرِلَّهِ namaz for لِذِكْرِلَّهِ وَلِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ etc. etc. Not for لِكَلَامِ النَّاسِ. And مَا دَرَبَنِي وَمَا قَهَرَنِي وَمَا سَبَّنِي وَمَا رَأَيْتُ مُؤَلِّمًا مِثْلَهُ. So he didn't hit me, he didn't shout me, but nicely, gently explain that to me. So this person is explaining to him, but gently, politely. Okay. But if it's an old person, he's seen the whole life, he understands, and he's made that mistake, so he will be seen differently. See. You can't say now, but why he was treated differently, and why am I treated differently? See, this Western world we're living in, why comes up too much? Why? So one of the root causes is that humility is not like it's supposed to be. That's why we ask why. The humility is there, it's annoying. I still got a long way and I'm still messing things up. See, that's how you think. So Allah Gangway Sabrahamta is asked now, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is announcing, don't count me as superior than Yunus Alaihi Salaam. Whereas the hadith says, Ana Sayyidu Wuldi Adam. I am the leader of all the progeny of Adam Alaihi Salaam. On one side, we are saying that he is a leader, and on the day of Qiyamah, Adamu Wama Siwahu تحت لوائي يوم القيامة. And Adam alayhi salam and all the progeny of Adam alayhi salam would be under my banner on the day of Qiyamah. أنا أول من يحشر, I'll be the first one to be risen from the grave. أول من يدخل الجنة, first to open the Jannah gates and enter. And why did he have to say this? So there are about 3-4 answers that the ulama kiram give, but I'm not going to speak on that. I'll just confine myself to the answer of Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he says, see, the person that is great, normally, he counts himself to be nothing. As the higher you go up, then you count yourself to be nothing. Now you're seeing things from a world of reality. When you see things from a world of reality, then you understand how much of a non-entity you are. When that rain came, the drop of rain was coming from the heavens, right? So that drop was so proud of itself. I am Tahir. I am Mutahir. I'm not only pure, I'm a purifying agent. Munazzal minas sama, I'm coming from the heavens. I'm coming at the hands of the malaika. Right? And I am life. Min al ma'i kulla shi'in hay. So I'm pure, I'm a purifying agent. I'm coming from the heavens. I'm coming at the hands of the malaika. So there's nothing like me. It's coming. But then, when it comes face to face with the ocean, say, but I'm nothing, but what? One drop, look at the ocean here. What am I? So these awliya-i kiram, when they get into the world of reality, then they understand we are nothing. But now, before that, you know, I'm still something, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But then when you come to the real world, so they ask the firefly, you saw firefly? Where? Didn't see. What do you saw? Yeah? What do you saw? You saw? Huh? Right. I think he gives up a light, right? Gives up a light. An insect like a fly, but it gives up a light. Children play with it, put it into the box, see the light. Right. So the person sees the firefly and he says, you know, such a lovely, lovely thing you are. I aspire for you the whole day. I only get to see you at night. But can't you come around the day as well? You know how much I like you, how dear you are to me. So the firefly says, I'm around by day and by night. But when the radiance, the brilliance of the sun comes out, then I'm a non-entity. But when the night comes in and the horizon is covered in darkness, then only I can just give a glimpse of my light. See? Otherwise, man anam ki man danam. I know what I am. When I look at, when I come on the world of reality, I know I'm nothing. So, these only are these ulama-i kiram, as they look at themselves from that perspective, they feel kuch nahi. They must. Allah Ta'ala ka fazl, it's just the grace of Allah Ta'ala, nothing beyond that. And how can we claim something when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself said, illa ayata ghammadani Allah, I don't stand a chance. Unless and until Allah Ta'ala don't shroud me, doesn't cover me with his mercy, not just put a drop, no, he must enshroud me. And that's why you make the dua, لا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين. Then don't assign me to myself for a split second. وإنك إن تكلني إلى نفسي تكلني إلى ضعفي. Because if you don't assign me to myself for a moment, I'm gone. Without everything I do. So I need your protective cover, your protective shield I need at any given time. So my mind works right, I see right, I behave right. But one moment is gone, everything will be gone. See, so that's supposed to be the perpetual mind of a true Muslim. Nothing. One person came to Mona Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi and he's trying to work out what is the spiritual state of Mona Rai Puri Rahmatullahi. So after a day, hey, ye to kuch nahi hai, man. He's nothing here. I don't know why the people are flocking, otherwise he's nothing. So, after 1-2 days, again he says, hey, I'm total wrong. Mohra's heart is pulsating that I'm nothing. Every second he's saying that. And I misconstrued it. That he is nothing. Whereas his heart is saying all the time that I am nothing. See? So that I am nothing, that must become the overwhelming thing. It must be like a natural thing. It's not a thing that, not just a concept. See? One is just a concept, an idea. So that idea doesn't work. That must become like natural in you. So that's what they work for in tasawuf, because they can see that your progress is subject to this. That how much of a non-entity are you yourself? Padma Gangway Sahib himself says about himself that I was going with my family people, there was some function, and on the return I thought of meeting Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi. And Hari Sahib Ramadhan asked me to stay over. So Gangur, Thanabon, all this, so I stayed over. Now I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to be a burden on Hazrat. You have to make prepare food for me. So Hari Sahib told me in advance, but don't worry about that. The food arrangement is done, so don't worry about that. So Hari Sahib would keep me around Dastar Khan. And we'd eat together. So, all the good portions, you know, the meaty portions, all is by Hari Sahib, and the plain food is by Gangur Rahmatullahi. Nowadays, you can't even think about it, because when you look into the gravy, you have to search for the gravy. Before it was, you were searching for the meat. And now, to salan ko talash karne ki zarurat padti hai. No, kya gosh, huh? Right. So, the meaty portion, the choppers that he kept by himself. Just then, Hafiz Zamin Sahib Rahmatullah pulled in and he saw what was going on. So, Hafiz Zamin Sahib Rahmatullah says, Zara, O Kofte Kabab. Bole Gangoi ko bhi kuch dete, khilate, pass something of that side. So Hari Sahib put a straight face and he's saying, ye to ghanimat hai ki humne unko saath bitha karke khilaya. Warna, to haq to ye tha, ke uske haath mein roti aur kuch salan de de, jao fakiron ki tarah se chakhao. This is a blessing that I'm allowing to sit with me and eat. Otherwise, he's supposed to be like a beggar. Just put some bread, some curry, and go and help yourself. Go on the street and help yourself. And with the side of the eye, the corner of the eye, he's looking at me. What's the facial response? Once he's at that moment, I felt convinced that I am like that. I do deserve that. I was so certain, right? that I deserve the treatment. Whereas in Ilm, everybody knew that Mawlana was leading far above Hari Sahib, everybody. Just that in Ilm, he was far ahead. But then, the level of conviction he had, Hari Sahib Rahmatullahi, say there was no official response. I felt really, it's a blessing to be sitting with Hari Sahib and eating at the same Dasarkhan. So these Buzurana, they wait for this. When is this going to come? And they can't see it. So they can't see it, or they can't push you forward. Someone saw the Sheikh Ramatari at the Rosa Mubarak and he just passed away. So they related the dream. So I was explaining that Ali Musa, the dream, one of his immediate relatives, right? Yeah, Hazrat is waiting to see you in that state that you feel nothing of yourself. Then he can take you across. But now you think that I'm something, so you have to become like him. He made himself Mutu qabla anta mutu, like he is non-existent, non-entity. He made himself, and he's aspiring that you should become like that. But you're not coming. You're not taking it. You're not taking it. You're not getting it still. So anyway, the students are firing questions. One question: how can Nabi Sam say this? Eventually, now, as I had to use a different approach. One approach now, a classroom situation is quite open. Especially when you are doing bigger kitabs, hadith kitabs, it's an open forum, right? And the student is supposed to just fire questions. But the question must be genuine. He must ask. Khanka is different, the rule here and the khanka is different. Yes, you must just do. If you're not doing here, then you must study sinners, the passages going great goods. And in the classroom, you're not firing questions, then you're also supposed to be sent to the pastures to go to grace courts. So here the rule is different, and there the rule is different. That rule can't be applied here, and this rule can't be applied there. See? The whole goal is different. So anyway, Hazrat asked him, what is your opinion about myself? So they said, Hazrat, you are far better than all of us. Then he went and asked, alright, if I have to say something, will you believe me? He said, yeah. And if I use some very strong words about you, know, then even more. And if I take an oath, then we can't even doubt you then. I can't even doubt you. The Mu'ad took an oath and said, see, I consider all of you hundreds of times better than me. Now that was a real state of the heart. It wasn't a makeup. That with certainty I count yourselves far better than me. And he's taken an oath. Whole class just burst out in tears. Because this was now, he's speaking of his actual state. See, one is a person that is drunkard, and one is pretending to be drunkard. Are they the same? One person got onion tears, and one person got real tears. Are they the same? No. You can make it out, this is onions. Right? And this is genuine, right? So, in this path here, this is what they wait for. They wait for this. Iskandar Fanayat Ayani, as it come, won't it come? And while Gangaram should speak about himself afterwards, I think I didn't gain what I was supposed to be gaining, because Haji Sahib only tested me one time. After, he didn't try me after that. But put me to the mill, but I learned something. But I see that state of Fanayat. Then, as Hari Sahib Rahmatullahi is teaching him and taking him forward, so they asked him, then after that, you know, in about, just about a month or more than a month, came Khilafat Ijaz, right? So then what happened after that? Then, uske baad kya hua? Uske baad to poochhe hi mat, phir to mein hum mar mite, what? And don't even ask about that. Then we gave ourselves entirely. We understood what this was about. And when we understood what this was about, then we just gave ourselves entirely. Because it's not a casual relationship. This is now initiating you into the divine presence. That you born, He has created you, and you're going there. You came. You started the journey from him, and you're going on that direction. So, can you understand what type of commitment is required? It's just a casual commitment, or an extraordinary commitment? Because you're starting here, and you're ending by him. Starting from him, ending by him. And then I ask you, can you think of a favor that you're enjoying that hasn't come from Allah Ta'ala? Anything of anything. Anything for the matter, smallest to the biggest, anything that hasn't come from Allah Ta'ala. So, how obligated and how appreciative you're supposed to be. Obligated, that everything, the smallest to the biggest, Allah Ta'ala, is just your favor. As Mawla Ali Mia Sahib Rahmatullahi. So, our Ulama-i Kiram used to consider him as like a reference in Islamic history. So the overview in Islamic history was very good. So he's like a reference point. He's counted something, he said something, so it's going to be authentic. That was now in history. Different ulama will progress in different things. Right? I'm looking at Mawlana Murtala, then I think of Mawlana Umar Palanpuri Sahib. Rahmatullahi. He's sitting approximately the same way. Hazarji is there, and he's got his column and kagas, just making notes, something. Now, I'm talking of 1976. I'm thinking, hey, this man is such a beautiful orator, that he's sitting like a humble student. The oration was so beautiful. 2 hours, 3 hours, and he's giving it. Once in Springfield Park, I think 5 hours, one go, he gave a bayan. And he'll maintain the momentum right through. Not that the speakers are cracking, no, right through. So additional thing I should see in him, he comes a little bit early from the masjid, and he's got a small, bag, like, you know. So the bag must have been about, say, 50 centimeters length, and about 30 centimeters in the width. And he's got all his kitab, what he needs now. He's got it there. And a small place for the pen, etc. And as he comes, he reads sunnah, all that. And then he's cracking, putting his kitab, checking sunnah, checking this. So he's got the kitab as like the base. That's why he's keeping the other kitabs. And he's not looking right, kon aya or kon gaya. But he's cracking, doing his work. But more, Shaykh Zakaria Ahmad Ali, to get his printing done, he had to go to Thanabhuvan, because the printing press was there. Now, an olden style of printing press, you know. Printing was done differently then, now it's different. So there you have to go and check yourself as you're putting onto the pleats, etc. The pleat is right. So sometimes there's one here there and can make a difference. So he has to be there himself. And after 2-3 days, and he went to Thamir Haftari, says, you know, I long to be in your majlis, but the printing press opens around that time. I have to be there to ensure that it's happening. So Thamir says to him, forget you being in my midst. I'm in your midst. When I see you, the way you are consumed in work, like, you're not seeing who's coming, who's going. Your kurta is out and you're perspiring one way. And you're just totally absorbed in the work. And you know how great I feel. You are not with me, I am with you. See our elders. So that was Umar Palanpuri Sahib Rahtari. I never see him fighting or shouting. Right, but he will see things are right. Right, this is wrong here. How to approach it? How to get it done? The beautiful qualities. Right. And after the bayan, like they talk to you your language, like, you know, simple. Kyam cho, hara cho, all that. There is cracking there, and after that, then, like nobody, absolute nothing. So we're talking about Alim Asab Rahmatullah. Right. And I said he's an authority on Islamic history. But we only saw the latter part of his life. We didn't see the beginning of his life. See, Mawlana Alim Asab and Mawlana Manzoor Nomani, both of them, they agreed now, you know, they thought to themselves that we're going to be writing kitabs. So when they decide they're going to write, now see how they responded to that. Then they say, both of them say, separately the writing, right? We understood that we're going to do this work here, writing. So a day won't pass without us writing something. Whether safar mein, hadar mein, at home or traveling. But now to maintain the momentum, we should write. Even if it's just half a page, we're traveling now, busy, going to this conference, going to the meeting, mashwara, but we'll see to that it's done. So this great work take place slowly, slowly, and then you just, that Iranian revolution, in the 80s it became like a hot seller, and everybody was reading the thing. But it took him just 1 month to do it. But what amount of pains he put to get there. Well, Alimia Sabra says, there's a problem with this Maududis and all that, right? So he had to write a kitab in refutation. So he says he just kept himself in that house for a month or for about 6 weeks. Only for namaz and coming back. So he calm se hota hai. Kalam se nahi hota, what? Calm? Kaam se hota hai, kalam se nahi hota. It's not with talk. Where your mind is, how you focused, how you putting yourself. So it's nice to see the beginning of these people's life, how they were brought up. So, Mona Alimia Sahib lost his father in his infancy. So the mother was very affectionate, extremely affectionate, and she overbounded, like she took the father's work and the mother's work, affectionate to the child. The affection, the love, muhabbat. But she says that, Mara says, that in two things, my mother would never compromise. Two things. When we are about 6-7 years of age, come what may, how tired you can be, dog tired, right? But you must do your namaz. No matter how tired you are, in what state, get your wuzu, and she won't hit, and she will hardly scold, but you'll get your namaz. No matter what it was. And the second value that my mother taught us, he says, that if you showed any type of a disregard or a disrespect to the most menial of workers, then you'll hold his feet and ask him for maaf. Not just maaf, but hold a person's feet. We are growing up, the infancy as a child, 7, 8, and children, they just see something. Right? So even if it's the most menial of workers, but you throw something that was unpleasant, go and hold that person's feet and ask for maaf. When I read that article, I said, hey, what an excellent mother this must have been. She covered him in hukukullah and in hukukul ibad. She covered him in all the laws of Allah Ta'ala, the obligations of Allah Ta'ala, that no matter what you are, but see that the right of Allah Ta'ala is fulfilled. Smallest or the biggest right, but see to it. Hukukul ibad, and don't hurt the person for a second. Not even mentally, nor verbally, nor emotionally. Don't hurt the person even for a second. The mother brought the child like that. So now, will he be in a position of hurting anybody? The slightest hurt you cause to that person, or get onto your knees, hold that the servant, the most menial, right, could hold his feet and ask him for a maaf. Otherwise, I'm not going to talk to you. Cut and dry. So he's brought up like that. When he's brought up like that, will there be any fights now? Will there be any altercations? So he's to see anybody, and it'll be a blessing. That is why Hazrat Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullahi should say, Dunya mein bahut kuch dekha, lekin Alimia ji se saaf dil maine kahi dekha nahi ki. I saw a lot of things in the world, but a pure heart like Azmal Alimia, I still need to see something like that. So Imam Ali Mahmud should say, you know, we like deen for ourselves and we want to keep it as a legacy for the generations to come. But it mustn't just remain with us, but our children, grandchildren, it must just continue with them. So I just mentioned now that he was an authority on Islamic history. So he saw the history very well. How this person came up and if progress, then his family, his children, grandchildren, and how they continued. It was a total collapse, but they kept on progressing. So he says, if you want that legacy to continue, you want it to continue for generations to come, right, then in my research, I found you have to commit yourself to three things. So it remains in your children, grandchildren, and carries on. Sometimes you get something to the opposite, right? So you get an exception to the rule. Otherwise, generally, you maintain this pattern and you see it carries on. So one, he says, that you have to be very careful about halal and haram. Extremely careful. Even if you eat dry bread, rather eat that than all the fancy type of foods. Right? But you keep to the halal. Doubtful, haram, right, contaminated. Slight doubt, you don't have to hurt the person. You can't be sitting in the dawah and say, worry about the chicken from his halal. Don't have to hurt the person. But before you can go anywhere, you're finding out right, how is it. Totally halal. Earnings are halal. And you verified everything, then you. Otherwise, it can be a lot of temptation now. See, there's pride going on here, there's coke there, and that coleslaw, what all things are on, huh? Steak, this idea, and what. So, you get tempted, right? So, this halal and haram to be very, very extremely careful. Intake. Not only in the food, but even in your eyes. Halal, haram. Halal, haram. So, to be extremely careful. And you know, I'm going to go there, and I may just come across something wrong. I may just listen to something wrong. Then I avoid that place. I'm not selfish. I'm thinking about the next generation. Unka kya hoga? See? So that was the first thing, says, in my research, is the first thing. The second thing, say, I came across, you maintain family relationship. Even if those people are sour, bitter, but you see to it that you maintain. People are in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, local, but you maintain. You can't visit them all the time. And some SMS message, something, just to maintain a relationship. Someone is going on that end, you send a small gift, right? So, can't you maintain a relationship? They'll say also, vichari na muklao, but there are vichari na muklao. He thought of us. Even if it was a small thing, but he thought of us. So to maintain a relationship. Right? And I tell everybody, right, to maintain a relationship, then you need to know the vernacular. Now see, your one connection is in Portugal, right? And you in South Africa. Yare man Turki mi goyam, oman Turki nami danam. My friend talks Turkish, I don't understand the language. So can you communicate? So if you got the vernacular, that language with the Urdu, Meman, Gujarati, whatever, then at least you can communicate. You know his duk suk, you know what's going on. Talk to the person, but you lost your own vernaculars. Then how are you going to communicate? Right. And apart from that, when it's your own people, whether they are here, Pakistan, India, wherever, for doing works of kindness, the reward is doubled, your own family, close or distant, but you did some work of kindness and generosity, whatever, the reward is not one, it's doubled. So even if they are sour and bitter, but you see to it that you are maintaining that. They may shout, they may say, they may be nasty, they may just ridicule or whatever. But why, see, you can't be selfish. I'm thinking about my generations to come. I don't want to see them collapsing and falling apart. What must I do? Yeah. One is the halal and haram. Number two, to maintain. And number three, he says, when there is an altercation or a difference, then you rather be the Muslim than being the Salim. What? See now it's a problem, it's fight, whatever. then you rather than being an oppressor, right? It's all right if you are oppressed. If you are oppressor, then you're in problems. And if you are oppressed, then the gates to the heavens are open for you. See that? If you're oppressed. So I said, no, I must get my last pound of flesh. And in to so doing, you may just oppress the person. Fix him up, put him in his place. But then, you got something what you wanted. You satisfied your ego. But now, the gates to the heaven have all locked up for you. You lost out that way. So a small thing, I'll just overlook it. Move on. You rather be the oppressed than being the oppressor. So I say, when communicating with people, then just keep these three ideas. I showed you this here. But in the communication, how to keep it well, and see to it that the gates to the heaven are open for you at all times. A good face, good words, and good heart. What? Not just good face. No. Hey, this kebab had to come again. Not like that. Good face, the words also are good. Words are good, enjoyable, polite. And most of this is more in the house, right? Than the outsiders. How much of all this love, affection, politeness you show within the house? They are going through difficulty for you all the time. Why, in this dua yesterday, you show them what they're doing. You just said it shortly, they're rolling rotis. Not the rotis, the tarkari, they're spoiling you. It doesn't happen. Now you say, no, I don't want that samosa. Then they're making rockets for you. Does it happen? How much are they doing? How much they spoil you? Only for you to see a good face, that you must enjoy it. And what pains they take. So what love and ikram you need to show to them. Now you shouldn't ikram to all the outsiders and your own house people not doing. Is that right? So in all this, he says, rather be the oppressor. I say that to get that good words, good face, and good heart. Right? Your heart must be good. Jarir ibn Abdullah, his hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif. So he says, Nabi Sam took bayat at our hands, and the last words of the bayat was, wa nusha li kulli muslimin. We wish well for every Muslim. What? We wish well for every Muslim. A very easy way to get your things going, that you wish well for him. You know, better for him than what you wish for him. You wish for him, make dua for him. You're not malicious, you're not jealous about what he's got. You're wishing well for him. You saw the good, you make alhamdulillah. And you saw the person is in the doldrums, you're thinking, alright, making dua and thinking how to bring him up. So that's the meaning of wishing well for every Muslim at all times. Allah Baktufi Nasiqala.